Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I'm Bill Knight. Oh, boy. Last night, I don't think you could get a plumber to unclog that mess that Joe spewed.
You know, it's funny. People who were looking casually, they would have thought, oh, he's awake and alert. Oh, isn't he something? He's giving us far more than we thought he'd give us. But, boy, he looked like the angry old man shooing the kids out of his yard last night. He was yelling. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't an orator last night. He was a screamer last night. A nasty old man.
This is what you get when a spoiled brat grows up to become president. You know, and that pretty much, you know, spells out a lot of the Democrats. You know, they're all little spoiled brats, and they got to have their own way or no way at all. I mean, a little bit of a diversion, but it's still focused on the simple fact of, you know, what we got last night. Stephen King did his little announcement. If Trump wins in 2024, I'm going to throw myself into a wood chipper. Well, thanks, Stephen, because I'm going to make money off that. I'm selling tickets to that event because you're stupid, along with all the other little crybaby lefties out there that are going with us. And that's all that was last night, was a campaign. It was a pep show. It was like going to a bonfire that is for your high school football team that's not going to win. But, boy, we're going to go out there and talk about what we're going to do. You know, pulling up our pants. Yeah, we're going to go knock them out. And then, you know what? It's the precursor of them getting their rear ends kicked.
Well, the first thing that I saw that disappointed me, but really it shouldn't come as a surprise, was he started to talk about, the very first thing he talked about was the Ukraine. He didn't talk about the border. He didn't talk about things that are important to us. He talked about the Ukraine. And behind him, Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, was nodding in agreement, and it's at key points, he did a polite applause to certain lines about the Ukraine. Like I'm going to, I think we should fund the Ukraine and give them the $60 billion. You know, Mike Johnson is not somebody who is known to most of us. He was an unknown until he became Speaker. And I'll be honest with you, when I saw him walking down the stairs with Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan.
This wasn't yesterday. This was early when he just became Speaker. He was in a very confidential conversation with Paul Ryan. I thought, this guy is not what he appears to be. There's something more to him that we don't know about. Yeah, he looks like he's on our side. But do you really trust any of these people to be on our side? I mean, that's the whole thing that I, and by the way,
They don't call it the swamp for no reason.
My wife said, and it's true, she said the Republicans were instructed by the Speaker to be polite and not be rowdy last night.
I told you that. They were told that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, in particular, was warned beforehand and there, do not be rowdy. And this came from the left. You are not allowed to do this. So she wore her MAGA hat.
Yep.
And she showed up there. She even handed Joe Biden a pin that mentioned Lakely Riley and said, say her name.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I got this segment here where she actually screamed from the audience, say,
oh, yeah, I heard it.
And listen to what Biden says.
I'd be a winner, not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Yeah, you understand my derriere. First of all, her name is not Lincoln Riley. Lakin. Lakin. L-A-K-E-N. Not Lincoln. But this guy, he was forced to say her name, and he blew it. And, you know, it wasn't in
his... Well, he said something else there.
It wasn't in his speech. It was not in his speech. He had to reach down and pick up the pin that was given to him by Marjorie Taylor Greene. And
right.
And with that, he got her name wrong.
Yeah. And he made the comment, but, you know, where it was like, so what? It was so what?
Yeah.
And then he came back, you know, but so what? If it's your child, and the president goes, so what?
Yeah, he made it sound like
it.
He made it sound like other people have lost their kids too. And I can bring you. Hey, listen, Joe, you were cornered into saying her name in public, and you even blew that. You even messed that up. You would think that they would have coached him to say, "Look, if it's brought up, be respectful and say something nice about her, and make sure you get her name right." And he didn't. You know, this guy is amazing. Bill, one of the things that I found very interesting last night, and I would encourage people to listen to Tucker's analysis. He came out about 10:30 last night with like an hour and a half show, and I couldn't listen to all of it, but I got to listen to some of it early this morning, and I wanted to play for you a couple of cuts. Tucker is... this is his initial observation of the State of the Union yesterday. Listen.
You know, you think of Joe Biden as a doddering old man, a guy who can't remember when his son died or when he served as vice president. Of course, that's exactly who he is, and it's on display every day. But Joe Biden is also a cruel and vicious demagogue, a man who has no problem at all denouncing his fellow Americans or putting his political opponents in prison, as he has done. And that was all on display tonight. That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. In fact, it wasn't a speech. It was a rant, entirely lacking in decency or generosity to his fellow Americans. In Joe Biden's very first sentence, he compared Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. He did not describe Trump as the other party's candidate, which he is, a political opponent in a country that's had peaceful elections for 250 years. No. According to Joe Biden, Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. He is an existential threat to freedom and democracy. If he wins, you will die and so will your country. That was the first sentence. But that was really the last time he mentioned the United States at all, for paragraphs and paragraphs. Biden quickly explained that actually his top priority has nothing to do with America. His top priority is sending billions more to Ukraine. A foreign war in Eastern Europe, a war across the world that has nothing to do with the United States, that the United States is not obligated by any treaty to join. Of course, Ukraine is not a member of NATO. A war that can only hurt this country, and already has hurt it in grave and permanent ways. The invasion of Ukraine is the most important thing to Joe Biden. Not ending the invasion of our own country by drug cartels, which control huge swaths of the southern United States at this point. Not our degrading economy you experience every day. Not our collapsing schools, schools where kids can't read at all. Not the 100,000 fentanyl deaths every year. Not the declining life expectancy that is obvious if you look around. Collapsing public health, an epidemic of suicide and murder, things that hurt Americans, ghost armies of drug addicts living on the streets. Right outside the chamber where the speech was given tonight. None of that matters. Biden's top priority is aid for Ukraine. It was deranged. You watch as you thought, this is insane. Does anyone in the room think it's insane? They must. This is crazy talk. There's no explanation of what the goal is here. There's lie after lie. Ukraine can stop Russia. No, it can't. This has gone on for over 2 years. NATO is stronger than ever. No, it's not. NATO is on its way to collapse, as is the economy of Western Europe. For not one sentence did Joe Biden explain what the goal of this exercise is, when we'll know we've won, and what the future should look like. Again, it was crazy talk. And yet, Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House, nodded gravely. Oh, of course, he is completely on board with Joe Biden on this Biden's signature issue. And that's not a guess. As of this afternoon, Mike Johnson is secretly supporting Biden's agenda, sending another $60 billion to the oligarchs in Ukraine. Johnson plans to let Democrats onto the floor of the House to vote for this. This is a stealthy procedural move designed to shield him and other Republicans from criticism. Oh, the Democrats did it. But that's exactly what it is. He's the Speaker of the House. He could stop it, but he won't, because he's on board. So why is he on board? Is Mike Johnson representing his own voters as he backs Joe Biden's signature agenda item, a war against Russia? No, he's not. Republican voters in Louisiana are not for this. Republican voters nationally are not for this. They hate this. It has nothing to do with them. And it's insulting. As their country is invaded, we send billions to prevent the invasion of another country that we have nothing to do with? But the Uniparty demands this, so Mike Johnson is doing it. And so at some point you ask, well, why are they demanding this, actually? Why is war with Russia the most important thing? If you look at the numbers or a map, it wouldn't be obvious that Russia would be America's main enemy. There are other candidates. Could it be because Russia is the largest white Christian country in the world? Maybe. Could it be because they're getting rich from war? Well, that's certainly true. And there may be other reasons as well. We could guess. But we don't need to, because we know that it's happening, and we know that war against Russia is not the only war we're going to be engaged in and not the only one that Biden announced tonight. Biden also told the country that we're going to have boots on the ground in Gaza. Really? Or admitted it, in fact. American forces have actually been there for months. Did you know that? Did anyone ask you? Has anyone explained to you, no matter where your sympathies lie, what the point of this is? When we'll know we've won? What's the objective here? American lives will be at risk. But of course, no one's told you. And of course, you already know the point. The point is to suck the United States into another foreign war that can't possibly help the United States, a war that can only hurt us and already is hurting us. And we're doing this not because it helps us, but because foreign interests are demanding that we do it. America is being used, as we so often have been. And the result of all of this is that the world is now closer to nuclear war at this moment than at any time in history, closer during than it was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We have no idea where this is going. You never do once people start to die, once wars begin. No PowerPoint can tell you, no speech to a joint session can tell you where this is going. It's dynamic. It's completely unpredictable. And that's why wise people pause before accelerating. But there are no wise people in charge in either party, on either side. You think Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, has any clue what will happen in a war with Russia? Of course not. You can't say where this is going. This is so reckless that it qualifies as suicidal. And maybe they are, but the rest of us aren't. But the most interesting fact of the speech was the emphasis. There was not a meaningful word for the entire duration about the things that actually matter to people who live here, like crime or inflation or fentanyl or the foreign army now occupying our country. Joe Biden doesn't care. There was no upside for you in any of the things that he said.
Isn't that the truth? And you and I talked, well, we texted back and forth during the State of the Union last night. And, you know, the very first thing I typed in was, he's hateful. And that's what I think this speech was. You know, we have a tendency to look at him and think, oh, he's an old guy and I'm glad he could get through. No, no. You got to look at what he was doing and what he was saying. And he meant everything that he said. He wasn't up there. Nobody was holding a gun to him to say this. He was enthusiastically espousing this venom. He attacked Bill. I've never seen this before in all of the State of the Unions I've watched. He attacked the opposition.
He did. He attacked, and he sat there and bullied the Republicans. He sat there and taunted the Republicans. And Mike Johnson should have got up and did some kind of visual demonstration when he sat there after his attack. He goes, give me a Congress.
Yeah.
Telling America, vote out these MAGA people. Well, but Johnson probably knows that he's going to be protected, somehow left into the fold, and they'll protect him.
Yeah.
So he's on board. And, you know
that procedural movement that Tucker was talking about, I was thinking about that. You know, you probably have seen this. Sometimes the speaker isn't always sitting up there running what's going on in Congress. If he were to, go out to lunch and there are things going on in the House, it didn't adjourn, they have somebody else go up and act as the acting speaker of the House. And I'm thinking, when he said he's going to leave the floor to the Democrats, I'm thinking what they're going to probably do is they're going to probably be in a situation where a Democrat is running the procedures.
And who would that be?
And they bring a vote up, right, about this $60 billion bill. And, oh, my gosh, while the Republicans were out to lunch, the Democrats passed the bill. That's the kind of procedural thing I think we're talking about here. You know, yeah. It's a bait-and-switch kind of thing. But, see, like Tucker said, he can stop that. Just don't let a Democrat run the House when you're away. You know, but they're dishonest. And I looked at Johnson, I thought, you son of a bee. You know, we're being told we can trust you, and then you're applauding. You're applauding this war in the Ukraine. You're applauding what this guy is going to do. And Bill, you know, when Tucker said, you know, once we get into a nuclear war, all bets are off. There's no figuring out where it's going to go, what it's going to do, how it's going to stop. You know, people think, well, if they launch a bomb, maybe we can. No, it's like dominoes. Once the thing is started,
one fires, they all go.
You got it.
And it could happen in as little as a week to two weeks. What's going on next week?
You tell me. What's going on next week?
Doesn't Russia have an election?
I'm not sure. I'll be honest with you. I've been too busy worrying about my country.
In the next week or two, they have an election, and they called in the U.S. ambassador in Russia and told her, said, look, here's a warning for you. The U.S. better not interfere with the Russian election. Now, that's a stern warning when you sit there and go, yeah, well, we wouldn't interfere with their elections. We didn't blow up the Nord Stream.
Well, here's what they say. A senior Russian military officer has warned the conflict in Ukraine could escalate into a full-scale war in Europe, and said the probability of Moscow's forces becoming involved in a new conflict is increasing significantly. It says here, Colonel General Vladimir Zhirinovsky, head of the Russian Army's Military Academy of the General Staff, made the comment in an article for Military Thought, a defense ministry publication, the state RIA news agency reported on Thursday. The possibility of an escalation of the conflict in the Ukraine from the expansion of participants in proxy forces used for military confrontation with Russia to a large-scale war in Europe cannot be ruled out. They're already saying, look it, you know, we're not going to just sit here idly by and let you increase your presence in the Ukraine and in that area. We talked about this yesterday. 20,000 NATO forces doing military war games in Finland on the border of Russia.
Now, Biden said we don't have boots on the ground there, but we do. So, you know, they may not be considered soldiers. They might just be advisors and stuff like that. That's how Vietnam started for us.
And he doesn't seem to care that he's allowed our, quote, enemy to turn their weapons toward us and point them threatening at us. I mean, they're saying the threat of nuclear war is very real, you know. And when I watched this guy last night, everything he said was a lie. I'm sorry. You may have heard, if you're a Democrat, if you're a Democrat, you heard the wild applause. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Yeah. It was like you said, a pep rally. But the fact of the matter is, this guy was spewing lie after lie after lie. The border, it's all his. As a matter of fact, I want to play this for you. As a reminder, this is Joe Biden. He said this a few years ago. I think he said it when he was running, actually. Here's about the border. Listen.
There are Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in that black box. An unrelenting stream of immigration, nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, we'll be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
This is an evil guy. This is an evil man. He doesn't talk about the people who are dying as a result of this uncontrolled invasion on our borders. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, take a good look at Joe Biden, his administration, the Senate, of what it comprises. For the most part, and what he's talking about, is white slave owners. He's a white slave owner. And that's all he's doing. He's importing people to work under him at the cost of other natural-born citizen, be them white, black, Hispanic immigrants that came here the right way. You know, we're all subjects to him. We are his subject, and get used to it.
You know, he also, you probably saw this, he didn't just challenge or threaten the Republicans. He threatened the Chief Justice and his other justices yesterday who were in the chamber. Listen.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you get right about that.
Well, first of all, Joe, okay, the justices are not elected, as you probably know. I don't know why you would threaten them with political threat. You know, once you're elected as a justice, you're there for life. And there's a reason for that. That's so that you can't influence them any further. They're in there, whether you like it or not.
Let me ask you a question. You know, he's exercised it, I believe, the most, and that is the power of the pen, the executive order that he can sign. Can he do anything to disrupt or dismantle or take out the SCOTUS or a SCOTUS?
No, it's in the Constitution. You can't. The justices
well,
are.
There's a lot of things in the Constitution that Democrats like to circumnavigate.
You have limitations with executive orders, right? They're in force until your term is over. For example, he went into office and he immediately reversed all of Trump's executive orders. And then when Trump gets into office, if he gets into office, he will reverse all of Biden's executive orders. But, you know, Tucker had two other guests last night on his program, and they were kind of interesting. As only Tucker can, he had Victor Davis Hanson, who's a very erudite, very intelligent, very smart guy. And then he had Alex Jones as a guest. And by the way, I thought that was a pretty gutsy thing for him to have Alex Jones. You know, Alex Jones is a lightning rod. I like Alex Jones. I think he says some things that he irritates the living daylights out of the left and drives them nuts, and it's costing him a fortune. But
whatever happened with that? I mean, did he ever have to pay up because he didn't have the money to do that?
I don't know, Bill. What was the judgment? Like $1 trillion or something like that?
Right. So more than what they're going after Trump for, but they want to go after him for a bunch of money. And, you know, they just kind of, or is this all these judgments just show?
Well, you know, I said to my wife yesterday, Peter Navarro was sent to jail for 4 months. But then again, I can't find out whether he's gone or not. I checked all the different search engines. I said, is Peter Navarro in jail yet? And they all come up with a thing, well, he's been found guilty and sentenced to jail for 4 months. He was supposed to have gone, I believe, like 2 Saturdays ago, but I haven't heard a thing about Peter Navarro, so I don't know what's going on. I do not know.
Well, there are some things that they don't want us to know, some things that are just there for show, and that's what this is. It is, it's a crap show.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Victor Davis.
Anyway, back to you.
Victor Davis Hanson. He had some comments about last night's ridiculous display. Listen,
I've never seen in general an angrier speech. I mean, I think the left's happy because he didn't stumble, but he only isn't coherent when he's full of venom and he's angry. Get off my. This was Phantom of the Opera number two. And I've never seen a president interact and yell at the opposition. And, you know, Tucker, he attacked the Supreme Court, and he was having a dialogue, an invective against the Supreme Court justices in the chamber. And so he's a very angry guy, and you were absolutely right, he's a demagogue. And then it was lie under lie. I couldn't believe when he talked about the deficit and the debt. He's on schedule, if he were to be reelected, to run up $15 trillion. We're spending, borrowing, I should say, or printing $1 trillion every 100 days under him. We've never seen anything like it, $7 trillion. And yet he says he's lowered the debt, our deficit. Same thing about the border. I mean, I know that Mitch McConnell made a fatal blunder by even negotiating with these guys, and that was the whole purpose of the Democratic negotiation, was this speech where they could say, well, they didn't sign on, but there's no need for laws. There's no need for more money. All Joe Biden had to do was just keep the policies in place. He had 100 executive orders to overturn everything. He let in almost 10 million people by design. He wanted to change the demographic. He wanted voters under, you know, mail-in and early voting protocols. And yet to stand there and just say that he's for the border closing was just a complete lie. I don't think it's going to go over. I think it was a mean old man saying, get off my grass, and I'm going to give you free stuff and print more money and then tell you that it's the rich that are the problem. I think the nadir, though, Tucker, was not just the Marjorie Taylor Greene exchange, but when he said that he's getting tired of people not paying their income taxes, when his son is now facing several felony counts for tax avoidance, and he's got a lot of cash that he's never reported. And as soon as he's out of office, if there's any justice in the world, he'll face the same exposure as Hunter. So I know that the left will say, well, he didn't stumble, and he was vigorous, and he was muscular, but it was a muscularity and a vigor that was frightening, because it was exactly like he did in that other speech about the semi-fascist and ultra-MAGA.
Yes.
And the idea that that buffoonish display in the rotunda for a few minutes was a insurrection and is the greatest threat to America since the Civil War. I think he forgot December 7th and World War II and World War I. But my God, he lives in an alternate universe.
You know, you got a preview, I think, of how they're going to campaign in 2024. You know, he talked about the insurrection again. He brought that up, the insurrection, the threat that it was to democracy. And, you know, we all watched it. I mean, we watched the Capitol Police escorting people around like it was a tour group. This guy is desperate. And, Bill, I found him to be unhinged last night, don't you?
Well, he was unhinged. And you looked at him, yeah, he stumbled here and there and he got tied up, but he did pick up and he was very angry. And, you know, he has in previous speeches. And if you go back and see what Joe has been doing and falling down and everything, now he seemed to have a little problem walking. So I don't know if he was drugged up last night or everything that we've seen in the past is all an illusion and a stage show. And he is that angry old man, and he is, in other words...
Yeah, maybe the stumbling and fumbling is the act, right?
The whole thing and the stutter, and now all of a sudden it came out. He, you know, and they wanted to sit there and get the Republicans off guard, to sit there and go, we don't have a problem because he's not cognitive. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Here he is, angry as ever, and we're going, oh. Because the other thing I saw in the Republicans last night, they were told to hush. I had mentioned that, and your wife had mentioned that to you. The simple fact, they were, and we don't need any outbursts from you, because the Democrats knew exactly what he was going to talk about and when to applaud and be there like a pep rally, and that's what it was. And he started off with lie after lie after lie after lie. I've reduced $1 trillion off the debt. I looked at the debt clock, and it's higher than it was. It keeps going up.
Yeah.
So he lied there. He lied about the border. We saw that because it happened under his watch, but he blamed it on Trump. And I think the Republicans are sitting there in disbelief of, I can't believe this is going on. Unfortunately, the only way that you can fight someone that fights dirty is you got to do it back. And yeah. you're, this is not a clean fight.
Well, you know,
it is not a clean fight.
You said to me before the show started, if I were Mike Johnson, I would have picked up the speech and ripped it up too.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, they would just say he's pulling a Nancy Pelosi, but
so what?
Yeah, but no, the right historically has always been following the rules. I mean, that's what they do. They follow rules.
What he could have done. He could have ripped it up into four sheets and said, "Here, Mr. President, you need to clean up yourself."
Yeah,
you know, give it to him like toilet paper, and that would have been nasty and disgusting. But you know what? He's nasty and disgusting.
If the speaker were Marjorie Taylor Greene, that might have happened. But you know, she had the only cojones, as they would say, in the whole. She was wearing, if you didn't see it, folks, she had a bright red MAGA blazer on with a T-shirt that said "Say Her Name, Laken Riley" on it, and a hat. She wore a MAGA hat, and when he was walking down the aisle, you know, when they introduce, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States," you know, and he shakes hands with people coming down the aisle, she pushed herself over there, and she made a point to not shake his hand, but she said to him, "Say her name," and she passed him the button that said Laken Riley on it. You know, people say, why would she do that? It's because she represents, I believe, the district that Laken Riley lives in. I think that's the case. I know it happened at the University of Georgia, so at the very least, it was in her state. You know, and she was, and it's had a great effect on her. And you know, Biden had no intention. I should point this out again. He had no intention in the speech of mentioning Laken Riley. If it wasn't for Marjorie Taylor Greene yelling from the crowd to say her name, he had no intention. It wasn't something that was, he didn't refer to a paragraph. That wasn't in the speech. You know, she made him acknowledge her tragedy.
The mistakes of the Republicans, not of Marjorie, you can't throttle her. And nobody should have been throttled. They should have thrown up their arms and thrown out everything. Because the one thing I noticed is when she became boisterous, it stumbled him. And he got, you know, that was a pretty big speech. You know, you think about it. He wasn't reading it. He had to memorize it. And see, that's another thing, you know. And I think they wanted to tell America that he's cognitive. All right. Well, I'm not sure about it, but since they're representing that, it's time to take the old man down for what he is, because he's saying he's in it to win it and he's vigorous. Well, let's find out just how vigorous he is, because he's picking the fight. Nobody else is. And just because he's an old man, he can't play the card both ways. He's either in it to win it and he's vital and youthful and he's got to take what he gets, or he's a stupid old man. And he's held up by his party. And again,
I think he's an evil old man. I really do.
He is an evil old man.
You know, he talks about, he easily says, I'm a devout Catholic. I go to mass. But then again, he doesn't practice what he preaches. You know, he talks about being a Catholic, which believes in pro-life. And yet he's probably the biggest pro-choice advocate. Whenever he had an opportunity last night, he brought up the carrot of Roe versus Wade and how he was going to, if they get a law put together in Congress that makes abortion legal again, he'll sign it. And it got a rousing bit of applause. It'll never get through. It's, first of all, abortion isn't illegal in this country. It's simply regulated by the states now. You know?
Yeah.
I'm pro-life. I believe that abortion is wrong, but at least now there's more checks and balances and people have to think a little more about the process, you know?
I do, too. I'm pro-life, too. I know. I think that there are cases which he was trying to argue these cases, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? There's abstinence. There's condoms.
Yes.
There are pills for it, you know, because the issues that he's talking about, rape, and incest, okay, I get that. I understand that. I had a daughter that was raped, you know. Thank God, you know, the latter didn't happen. But the simple fact is, there are situations.
Yes.
And, you know, there are medical situations, but we're not talking about that. And it's just,
we're talking,
you know,
about abortion as contraceptive, essentially. That's what they're talking about.
And I'm like going, they're talking about, you being responsible. You don't have to be responsible. We'll just take it away. And, you know, his touch of humanitarianism and that he's there for the children and all that. Really, Joe, the hair sniffer? And you come from the party of the Epsteins that go to Epstein Island and everybody with, one person cries foul. It's one person crying foul. Two or three people crying foul. But then all of a sudden, you have all of this documentation, all of this stuff that points to a bunch of pedophiles in the White House.
Bill, he still likes to sniff. I'm just saying, he loves to sniff, and he never misses an opportunity. He is not what he appears to be. You know, people who know him will tell you that he was an angry, stupid guy 35 years ago. He was just younger. Yeah. You know, to think that he'd be president of the United States, and, think of Ronald Reagan when he gave a State of the Union, how great, how magnificent the speech was. Think of George Bush. Think of Bill Clinton, who I didn't agree with on anything, but when he gave the speech, he gave it as a magnificent orator. Even Barack Obama, who I didn't like, when he gave the speech,
he could do a great speech.
He was an orator. This guy was a screaming, angry lunatic. Alex Jones was on with Tucker. By the way, Tucker's podcast, his evaluation, it's like, I think it's like an hour and a half long. I only have snippets, but this was interesting. This was Alex Jones with Tucker and his evaluation of the speech last night.
You asked him a question out of the gates. You said, why do they lie so much? They think we're dumb or what's going on?
Yeah.
They want to tell so many lies that you don't have time to counter them all. Because it would take 5 hours to counter all that. I mean,
I gave up in my note taking.
Yeah, everything was a lie. I mean, the biggest one was like, this woman got killed by a legal alien. We're trying to stop that. I want to shut down the border. He said, when I win, immediately surge the border. And then they had the big NGOs, the State Department that funds the UN NGOs, have all the illegals come up here. They have UN camps in South America and Central America and in Mexico. And he's running it all. He says, come here. They show up by the thousands in Biden shirts. So he's like, I'm so sad. The illegal aliens are killing you, and many of them are convicted felons, a large portion. And then he's acting dumb and saying, oh, no, I'm really sad. Illegal aliens are raping and murdering citizens. So just that little window there, he's playing the good cop to his own globalist policies. Everything that the State Department, the Victoria Nuland's won, and you're absolutely right. First he comes out and says Trump is Hitler, and then he moves on to Ukraine. So it's not about the dying cities, not about the fentanyl and the needles and the illegal aliens everywhere and the homeless everywhere. It's all about Ukraine, because that's their big model to distract us and also launder money. So this is a very, very dangerous moment for America. And your last guest was dead on. He and the whole establishment is so emblematic of a rotting, collapsing facade that knows the people have turned against it. And it's just pure rage. All the fakeness, all the pomp and circumstance has been stripped away. And now there's just this seething, ancient dinosaur. In fact, I was watching, earlier during the State of the Union, and then sitting here watching you earlier, I was thinking, how do I start this? I want to say, it's like we're in a time machine looking back on the age of the dinosaurs, the Paleolithic or something, or something. I mean, we're looking back because time is compressed now. So we're here looking at a dying, corrupt, dead political empire that hates America and is trying to use our power to take over the world. And it's already gone. The world's turning against it. The Great Awakening's here. All the numbers show it. And they're trying to hang on. And so we're looking back at Jurassic Park. We're looking back at the dinosaurs. But instead, the dinosaurs are trying to claw us back into hell. I mean, take World War II. Operation Valkyrie was the German general staff who were Nazis and bad guys, but they were like, we're going to lose the Russians. We're going to lose the Americans. We're going to lose the Allies. A year and a half before the war ended, let's kill Hitler. But they failed. It's the same thing. the globalist program has failed, but they're thinking, well, if we just enslave people and arrest people and do all this, they'll shut up and go away. The New World Order has already failed. The question is, when Hitler knew he was going to lose, he wrote and said, if the Germans fail on the Eastern Front with the Russians, all the Germans deserve to die. They failed and they're weak. And so he flooded the German subways. He let the whole Russian army come in. 25 million Germans died. 26 million Russians died. Most of World War II was the Russians, the Nazis killing each other. And so it's kind of that same thing. The left saying, if we're going down, we're taking you all with us. And then we have Klaus Schwab saying, you will eat bugs. We have Tyson Foods saying, we're moving in with crickets as the main batter for your chicken and everything else. I mean, they're really, Yuval Noah Harari was on Late Night Comedy just last night. And he's like, yeah, the age of humans is over. And then the talk show host agreed, yeah, we need computers to decide everything, programmed by the globalists. So all they're offering is more of the same. And if we just fully reject them, which is happening, they will fall away. But they're trying to claw us down to hell with them.
They're trying to claw us down to hell with them. You know, I was thinking as he was saying that, he was talking about the global, you know, what do you call it? Groups like the World Economic Forum and all these different, the globalists who are trying to control the world. And if you don't believe that happens, folks, fine. Just live in your little cocoon. There is a group of people. There are a group of people. The George Soroses, the Klaus Schwabs, the Rothschild family. We just lost. Think of the people, Bill, think of the people who have, in recent times, the things that have changed. We have John Kerry leaving the environment position. I thought he would die in that position because he's a globalist and he wants to affect us with his environmental policies. But he's kind of given up now and he's going into retirement. We have the Rothschild, the head of the Rothschild family. I thought that they would be around forever. Suddenly he's, quote, dead. He's gone. He died in late February. Head of the Rothschilds. We have, what's her name, Victoria Nuland, who for decades ran the wars in our country. She essentially was the secret force behind a lot of our armed conflicts, Afghanistan, these different wars. So the Ukraine very much involved. Suddenly things in the Ukraine aren't going so good, and to the surprise of everybody, she retires. She steps away. There's something going on, Bill.
Well, yeah, there is something going on. The sad thing is, though, you know, these people die off or they go away or whatever. Problem solved? Nope. They have children. They have people akin to them that are on the same page. How deep is the blue state or the deep state, I should say? Blue state. Well, they're the deep state. But the deep state, it's global. I mean, just look at... MIA, is it MIA in England, the agents?
MI6, MI5,
MI6. Yeah, the Steele dossier, the guy that wrote that, which was fiction, proven to be fiction, but it's the one that came out with all the stuff that was used by Hillary against Trump, all right? So Trump had the legal right, but he had to sue in the UK to sue the guy for the fiction papers. The judge threw it out and then said, oh, by the way, Trump, you got to pay $322,000 for the legal fees. Now, he threw it out because he said he's got no standing here. In other words, basically, I interpreted that to he's got no standing is because Trump has got all the attacks that are going on here. So he had to fight the case there, but he couldn't be there. So, you know, it's a nothing case.
But
even though...
When you look at what's happening as far as the deep state goes in the world, and you look at the desperate, angry speech last night where Biden was, he was yelling at MAGA. He was yelling at half of the country, at least. He was yelling at all of us.
He threatened SCOTUS. He threatened the Congress. And the way that I took those threats is that he wants rid of anybody that is not on his page. So he wants rid of the Republican Congress. He wants rid of the SCOTUS or wants it to be all Democratic. And he threatened us, we the people. And so that means he wants you, Jim, to go away.
Of course he does. They asked
him. He wants me to go away.
Tucker asked Victor Davis Hanson last night. He said, what happens if he gets another 4 years? He said,
"We're screwed."
Basically, that's what Victor Davis Hanson said. We won't survive four more years. We have some questions as to whether we'll survive till the election.
But he made false promises. How many promises did he make in, you know, back in the last election, the 2020? And
oh my God, Bill!
But did he keep them?
No, none.
Not a single one.
No.
Now he's lied and said, "Oh, I've done this and this and this, biggest in history. I've set a record." You know, well, I'd like to see the record because gas prices are up, food prices are up,
but he doesn't admit to it, though.
The economy is down. No, he's claiming just the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the old rule is you tell a lie enough, it sticks. And if you're that stupid to believe it, boy, because he was promising, oh, I'm going to give you for people that want to buy homes, which the real estate market's going to hell under him. And he's going, I'm going to give you a $400 a month tax credit. All right. Uh-huh. And, well, okay, so that's however much that is, $4,800 a year, $9,600 over 2 years. Yeah, that would be great if that were true. But,
hey, Bill, the
you
first,
know, of course, you got to elect him.
Within the first 10 minutes of his presidency, he raised his right hand and swore to God that he would protect us from enemies, both foreign and domestic, and he has not.
Well, he swore to God. You know, now, interpretationally, I guess you can swear on the Bible. I swear to hold these things true, or you can swear. You know, and I think that he beseeches God. He doesn't. You know, I'm even looking at the pictures of him, and I had noticed something last night, and I was going, "Oh, that's just me being a conspiracist." But they had the side angle of him, and I pulled up an old shot of him, and they have the front angle of him and the way the lights looked on him, and there's the picture of him holding up the little pen there.
Yeah.
You know? But if you look how the light glows, the forehead does the same thing as a devil where the horn should be about right here, and if you look at the side jaw line, again, it has changed to where, and it's probably the way he's aged.
Would he sell his soul?
Did he, or it's a foregone conclusion that he has?
I mean, I think this is a guy who always wanted to be president. I mean, you can tell by the number of times he ran, you know, and suddenly he has an opportunity, but he had an opportunity, maybe his it was conditional. I'm just saying, you know, you have to believe in God, and if you believe in God, you know there's a devil, too.
Yeah, if he is hyped up on drugs, then look at his picture right from here, the eyebrows down to right here on the top of the cheekbones. You look at that, you look at the forehead, you look at the side, you know, is it a bad stand? I don't know. I'm not trying to be a conspiracist, but I'm just saying he didn't look right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and you know,
Bill,
I think we're being set up. You know, I don't know.
I mean, he's walking us up to a nuclear war. How can anything be more evil? He's allowed tons of fentanyl to poison our cities and our people and our youth. Over 100,000 deaths by fentanyl poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
That's directly on Joe Biden and his administration. I mean, all he had all he had to do, Bill, is say, keep the border closed.
Well, he says he can do it, but he doesn't. He needs that money.
Oh.
The border is a hostage. He created this situation. The situation was there by the, you know, for whatever reason. He even admitted he can do the Border Amnesty Act and shut her down today. Well, then why the hell don't you? Oh, no, I need Congress to give me that money. You know.
Well, you know what Trump said. Trump said that's a lie.
It probably is a lie, but he said that he could do that. He lies about everything. The border situation, it is just a poster child, a hostage that he is using to negotiate the money that he wants to steal from you. Well, wait a minute. If we're $37 trillion in debt and he wants more money, you know, I'm sorry, but the bank is broke. It's done. We're out of here. We can't give you the money, Joe. It doesn't exist. And you're spending more money, and you're promising more money. And those were campaign promises. He didn't keep the last ones. Yeah. So why would he keep this one?
A man identified as Steve Nakui, the father of Marine Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, who was killed in the August 21st, 2021 terrorist attack on Abbey Gate at the Kabul airport during the Joe Biden retreat from Afghanistan that killed 13 U.S. service people and about 170 Afghan civilians trying to flee the triumphant Taliban. He was arrested last night. Steve Nakui was put in handcuffs by security at the Capitol because he heckled Biden at one point. You might have seen it. He was up in the bleachers, up in the balcony area, and he yelled down, "United States Marines, Abbey Gate." That's what he yelled, "United States Marines, Abbey Gate." And, of course, the Capitol Police took him into custody immediately and put him in handcuffs and took this Gold Star father away because Biden, he's long since forgotten. Heck, you'll remember that classic picture of him when the caskets were arriving in Dover. He was looking at his watch like, when's this going to end? I got things to do. I have a nap time that I have to attend to, you know? I mean, this is the kind of guy we have as a president. And people who, and you know, by the way, you probably, I didn't watch mainstream media because I don't enjoy getting PO'd for no good reason and because I'm too old for that. But I think that if you watch mainstream media last night, they probably would have told you what a fine job he did. He was forceful and got all of his points across, and he stayed awake until the very end. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you might have heard on NBC, CBS, MSNBC, ABC.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact is, you saw it, Bill. You saw the guy was venomous, the guy was filled with lies, and the guy was anything but statesmanly.
The mainstream news did acknowledge that he taunted the Republicans, and he, you know, the things that he did, but they were going. But he made his point clear about the border and, you know, his agenda and what he wanted to do. And he, you know, and it laid to rest that he his cognitive abilities. And I'm going, okay, so it's concluded now. You don't need to replace this candidate. He's the one that's going to run. He's not going to fail you. He can run all the way through, which means he's open. He's open game to sit there and give him your best shot, because you can't wear him down. He's healthy and he's fit, even though his doctor lied and you know, sat there and said, yeah, he's okay.
Well, you know, they said he was juiced up last night on carbs. That's what they said, on carbs. I would submit that he was juiced up on something a little more potent than carbs. Carbs would be things like, you know, spaghetti, macaroni, you know, noodles, carbs. I think he had something a little more forceful injected into him last night to keep him awake. Because, I mean, you know, it was past his bedtime. The guy is... he was staying up late last night. As a matter of fact, they couldn't get him out of the chamber. All of the, if you watched, the place emptied out, and he was still down talking to a bunch of people in the well of the Senate chamber. I mean, it was amazing. This was a show. This was not what I expected him to be a little more conciliatory. I expected him to be a little more genteel with the opposition. He was angry. He was confrontational. I mean, this guy reminded me, when I was a kid, in my neighborhood, we had a priest who ran a church across the street from my house, and this older priest was a nasty son of a gun. I mean, it just was his nature. He didn't like kids, and we would go into the churchyard, and we would play. We'd play baseball behind the church. And he just didn't like seeing us on the property. So he would come out and he would scream in the angriest of voices to get out of the churchyard. Get out of the churchyard. He used to chase us with his car on occasion to get us out of the churchyard. But the point
is,
this guy last night reminded me of that same nasty old guy who, but the difference is this priest who had the church across from my house, he couldn't damage my family or hurt my grandchildren. The guy we watched last night, and you said it a little while ago when we started the show, I mean, it could happen, it couldn't be months down the road, it could be days down the road when he gets us, stumbles on us into some kind of catastrophic world war. And it wouldn't be something that'll happen long. We think of war, world war, as being something way off in the distance, but it's not that far away, folks. Biden has pushed us right up to the nose of our enemy. You know, I mean,
and like the Rolling Stones said, it's just a shot away.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The Russians shouted at our UN, our ambassador. They're saying, "Don't mess with our elections." Now, why would they say that unless they know or have fear that you don't think we've messed with other? Or we've talked about it. The country is as much as said. Yeah, we've done this and we've done that. So we have meddled in other people's elections. But we talk about how terrible it is when that happens. But, yeah, we've done it to get the outcome that we wanted.
Yeah.
So you don't think that we don't have something in play there to mess with their elections? How dare us sit there and talk about them messing with our elections? Because we mess with everybody's. We need to clean up our own backyard.
You know, and I have a story, and I can't find it. I'm sure we're running out of time. But the Russians, in their new history books, talk about our 2020 election as being a fixed election. They talk about it in their history books. And you know the opposition knows the truth. You know, we may not know the truth. I mean, some of us suspect it, but we've been lied to pretty effectively here. And, we've been told if you believe that the elections were messed with, you're a conspiracy theorist and you'll be banned from society. But the Russians don't care about that. The Russians, they know what happened in our country in 2020. And in their history books, they're printing it. They talk openly about how it was fixed and stolen and how this guy who's in office now is illegitimate, let's say, okay? And now what kind of damage does that have? Well, look around you. How many people? Look at Laken Riley. God bless her. That little girl would be alive today if that illegal had been, he was arrested and he was released. He was arrested for something else and he was released. And now there's a bill, I guess they're going to pass, where if an illegal is arrested for stealing something, they have to keep him in custody because he was charged with stealing something and they let him go.
Yeah.
You know, and now that little girl is gone.
See, I don't trust any bills or laws that are passed anymore because I don't know who's good and who's bad. We almost need somebody, an investigative reporter, to sit there and go in and secretly vet these people and say, these are the people that need to be gone. Whether they're on the right or on the left, they need to be gone. And these are their potential replacements because they're good. Because, you know, if you're a lefty, you don't want to take out a lefty unless you put in a lefty, but a moderate conservative lefty. If you're on the right, you don't want to take out a right person and, theoretically put in somebody that, again, is a rhino or a left. You want to put in somebody that's moderate with right-leaning conservative values so that you have a balance and run fairly, but you want to replace the bad with something good.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct. The problem is money. The deep state has money, and usually when you see a candidate, especially a new candidate, who has a ton of money behind him, odds are he's controlled by some nefarious people. The guy who's usually doing a campaign on a shoestring, he's probably somebody that the deep state doesn't want in. I don't want to sound...
And you know what, though? There was a guy up in Canada, Jamin or something like that. He was he was an attorney, but he lived in an apartment because you really don't make the money up there. Yeah. And he was, living hand to mouth, and he ran as a conservative. And because of other people that said, this guy is one of us. So he got voted in There's sweeping changes happening up north of us, and a conservative movement. And, you know, I don't even like the word conservative because there are bad conservatives. But there is a grassroots movement of just pure common sense that is trying to prevail. And I think that happens here. If it happens to be right-leaning, that's fine. If there was a common sense factor that was predominant on the left side, that would be fine. Yeah. But it's not, and that's the problem.
You know, before we end the program, I wanted to congratulate the Republican response last night. They put somebody on who I thought at first glance, what are they doing for the Republican response? They put somebody who was a first-term senator from Alabama. Her name is Katie Britt. I'm not familiar with her, and I watched it. She's an attractive, very intelligent young mom / senator from Alabama, and she did it from her kitchen, and she was a breath of fresh air. Everything that Biden can't do, every evil and every negative that he projects, she counters it with a wholesomeness and intelligence, a patriotism that was just magnificent. She is the future if she isn't attacked and vilified and chased away from government. She's the future. And you can only pray that she has an opportunity to do good things for our country, because this guy Biden, he could be walking.
You've got to give her a voice, though. You know, she had a voice last night, you know, but last night, everything that happened last night was heard will fade into the wind.
Yeah.
What will not fade away is the venom and evilness that was promised by Joe. Her words, they will fade away.
Yeah.
The only way that, you know, you can help her is, well, you got to give her a platform. You got to, you know, let her say so that other people can hear her. And that's the only thing.
Well, write the name Katie Britt down. Katie Britt. Write that down somewhere and remember it, okay? Put it on a little notepad somewhere. And she's somebody to watch. She is a voice. She speaks for a lot of us. I wish the place in Washington, I wish the Senate was filled with people like her. Unfortunately, there are a lot of swine. Pardon my, they're just there. I mean, look at Mitch McConnell. God, this guy, he does all these terrible things and stabs it and backstabs Trump in the back. And then the day after Super Tuesday, he has the audacity to throw his endorsement into Trump's camp. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
But you know what? He would remove that endorsement
in a heartbeat.
Quicker than you, in a heartbeat, quicker than you could say quick. Only because if the left is trying really hard to come down on Trump. As a matter of fact, Liz Cheney reared her ugly, stinking head.
Yes, I heard.
And she's formed a pack now that's left and right-leaning. And basically, it's politicians, rhinos and Democrats that don't want Trump, and they're going to try to, well, they're raising money.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't take money to pass legislation unless they got to buy people.
Well, she is a, she's shown herself to be what she is, okay? She's a liar. She's a liar, and she's a deep stater. That's what she is. She tried to pretend to be one of us at one point in her career, and she just couldn't help herself. We found out for what she is. She's a duplicitous son of a bitch.
I mean, you know, I think both parties should sit there and look at their people and say, this person's not a Democrat of true value. Vote him out of the party. Push him out of the party. On the right, the Liz Cheneys. Push him out. Push out the Romneys.
You know, the only thing I can say, Bill, the only hope that I have is that Trump, who, like, I believe, you know, he has nothing to gain. Excuse me. He has nothing to gain by, you know, supporting, even wanting to be president. He doesn't have anything to gain. He has a lot to lose. But the fact of the matter is, his endorsements mean a lot. You know, when he first started to endorse candidates, some of them weren't the greatest endorsements. He endorsed Mitch McConnell at one point. But I think as he's gotten to know the swamp, as he's gotten to realize who really are the good guys and who are the bad guys, I think his endorsements are more meaningful. I do think that you take his endorsements for what they are. I think they're valuable. You know, I think if he endorses somebody, I think his people have vetted them, and they're more on our side than, you know, at least that's my opinion. You know,
yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't trust Crazy Mitch. You know, and I mean, I see Mitch still trying to get close to Trump. And
yeah, well, that I think that train has left the station, don't you?
Yeah. You know? Well, I think it has, but then, you know, you see them, you know, like, you know, in a weird conversation setting, and I'm like going, you know, you don't know who the players are and how they're playing the game.
What's that old expression, keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, so.
But you don't know how people are playing the game, so that's just it.
Hey, listen, we have done it, another show in the can, man. Our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail at itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, and jimandbill@mail.com, and mail at mail.com, and the man on the moon at mail.com.
Hey, do we have two different web pages, don't we? Essentially, we have...
Well, we have a lot of web pages, but, you know, we have itsanotherday.com.
Right.
And then we do have jimandbill.com. We got that because I was going... Oh, somebody surely has jimandbill.com,
yeah.
And nobody had it. And I said, so, you know, we basically put a holder page up there, but we probably, at some point in time, since, you know, in the research out there, people look for Jim and Bill, the podcast.
Yeah.
So we will probably migrate over that way, but itsanotherday.com will not go away.
Yeah, but the thing is, I thought it's interesting, Bill, based upon our research, is that people refer to our program more and more as just Jim and Bill. You know.
Yeah, you know, like if you sit there and go, you know, if you asked Alexa, Alexa, how many people listen to the Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Yeah.
She'll tell you. And but if you say, you know, how many people listen to It's Another Day? Well, it got so many Grammys, and, you know,
yeah.
It comes up with
yeah.
the...
If you could just... If all of those tens of thousands, actually millions of people who listen to the program would send us $1, Bill and
you
I would be...
saying deep, that.
We'd be deeply appreciative. And, of course, we can't give you an address, so we're just kidding. You know, we... We
when
would never
kid,
do. We would never do something like that, would we, Bill?
I don't know about you. I mean, if I thought I could get rich and get away with it, no, I wouldn't do that.
Hey, listen, that's about it. There's only one thing, sir, that is left to do, and that's your standard out.
Well, one day I hope the vote will come in, and you'll see Biden go up on stage and go, "Hasta la vista, baby," and out of here.
This is CRN America.